Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Ryan Pills.
Jonah Doom.
And Hannah Johnson.
In the house!
Hannah Johnson!
Woo!
Who else in this group might have the last name of Johnson?
Well, I used to have the last name of Johnson. Hannah is married to my brother Charlie, and she's been a longtime fan of Tantrum House. And this is her first time actually being in the Tantrum House.
Super excited to be here.
Yay, awesome. Welcome to the party. Thanks so much for joining us. We're glad that you and Charlie could hang out tonight as we played some games. And other things. Yeah, I got a little peek behind the curtain of all the magic that's happening here. Ooh, sound effects of the curtain.
But also, I got to go back. Jinx, personal jinx. Now Will and Musa can't talk for the rest of the podcast. Got him.
Nice.
Is there something about a Coke? That's what my kids say.
Yeah, you owe me a Coke now for talking. Easy money.
It sounded like Charlie and Jonah and Melissa and Amy played a game tonight. What did you guys play?
We played Crack the Code by Indie Board and Crafts.
Cards?
Board and Cards.
Board and Cards. I apologize. It is, Melissa knows. Melissa knows what it is.
Tell us, Melissa.
So it is a code cracking game. Think something like Hanabi, where each player can't see the elements that are in front of them. In this case, it's little balls, like little bouncy balls in different colors in a tray, but you can't see them. And you have a card showing a sequence that you need to have these colored balls in. So maybe it's all blue, or maybe it's a blue and then a red and then a green and then a yellow. And it's a cooperative game. You have action cards that you're going to be drafting for actions, and you can do things like send a marble from your tray, or a bouncy ball, whatever, to someone else's tray, or receive one, route one from two different people. And you need to get all the marbles in each person's tray correct before you've gone through the deck of action cards.
So cooperative like Hanabi as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, did you guys win?
Hannah didn't play.
Oh, you didn't play.
Charlie played, though. Oh, Jonah, did you win?
We did win a few rounds. We played a lot of rounds, maybe five or six.
Oh, wow.
And at first, I was not looking at the rule book at all. So I did not realize after the first few rounds, I thought the game was just a tad too easy.
Okay.
I really did. And I was thinking, oh, it's maybe not for me. It's a little easy.
Following rules does make games hard.
But then, well, because they have like different scenarios that you can follow in the rule book. So then we kind of moved on and skipped a few scenarios, and then the game became very hard.
Yeah.
Which I actually super enjoyed. It was really tough to crack the code.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But Ryan missed his opportunity.
The sound effect icon.
The sound
why is he pointing at me?
There we go. Anyway, and I actually really enjoyed it.
Excellent stuff. So as usual, we're going to be talking about games that we've been playing recently. We also have an interview later in this episode with Richard Lanius, who's got a game on Kickstarter right now. We'll be sharing games that are coming to Kickstarter soon. And if we get time in the show, we may even talk about some of the games that we wish had expansions. Until they get to that point, though, let's go ahead and keep talking about some of the games we've been playing. Tonight, I had a chance to play the On the Origin of Species with intern Larry. It's a game from Artana where you are attempting to travel around the Galapagos Islands, picking up. You're going to be doing some research, which just basically involves putting cubes out on tiles on the board. And then a little bit like maybe Splendor, you are trying to collect matching tiles, get the resources necessary to be able to get new tiles that come out in the game. There are several decks of cards that you'll be drawing from as well, trying to collect research and superpowers throughout the course of the game so that when you get to the final, when your boat lands at its final destination, You'll compare and see who has the most of each color. You'll score some points that way. And you're obviously looking at all kinds of different finches and tortoise size. What's the plural of turtles? Turtles?
Turtles.
in an attempt to collect a bunch of points. That's a newer-ish one from Artana. And it was an enjoyable game. There was one part of the game that I thought was a little broken. And I wish Larry was here to hear me complain about it, because it caused him and Chantel to win. In the game,
they both won. It was a joint win.
They caused them to beat me.
Oh, that was definitely a good win.
Chantel did actually win.
I knew that. I just wanted you to let all the people know that my wife won the game. That's all.
She did crush it. In the game, you are selecting tiles from this left side, and there's like 6 tiles available, but you're not allowed to draft tiles from the top of the stack until you have randomly and luckily drawn a map card from one of the 3 decks. Which I never got the entire game. Equal number of cards to everyone else in the game. But Chantel drew one early on. Like, had the map third turn. Now she's got twice the tiles to draft from. They're worth more points than the rest of them every time. I'm like, where's my map card? Come on!
She's not as good as Chantel. That's it. That's what it is.
Right.
It was a bummer. Chantel does do good at getting points. We can all agree on that.
Yeah, I've been getting beat for a while.
I wanted to go back to Crack the Code, though. Because I really enjoyed the gameplay. But the components, you guys got to play it.
The bouncy ball-esque marbles are too big.
Too big. And I don't like the plastic what they're sitting in. I feel it's too flimsy.
I mean, sure. But I feel like you don't really have to mess with that too much. It's just the marbles are too big. They're just, I don't know, a centimeter. I don't know.
I agree. No,
they're like just a centimeter too big if they were just a little smaller. Because they don't roll in the tray appropriately. They like get stuck. Instead of rolling down to the center. And if they rolled down to the center, it'd be like perfect. But they just don't. It's just...
Gotta get the deluxe edition.
Do you think it's because of the size, or do you actually think it's because of the material, too? It's because of their rubber. So they stick better. Or stick where you don't want them to stick.
It really could be either. There's like 5 different ways you could have fixed that. And they did not choose any of them.
I feel like I wanted... So we actually played a prototype of this. Okay. And I actually wanted like smooth marbles. I think it just would, in that way, they're not like bouncing around.
So to be clear, in the past, we played a prototype.
Sorry.
The one that we're talking about now is the published version. But this is, I would say, a game that has marbles. I hate going out and replacing components on games. I usually just don't, and I deal with the components. But you can just go out and buy a couple bags of marbles for cheap.
I will say that while we're complaining about the components, it's not detrimental to gameplay. Like, we literally played 5 or 6 rounds tonight. I complained about them in the first round, kind of got over it, and then I just played it. But they're just too... I mean, it's like, again, it's like you could have made them out of different material. That would have fixed it. You could have made them just a little bit smaller. That would have fixed it. Mm-hmm. There's like a ridge in the middle of them. You could have maybe shaved the ridge off. It would have fixed it. So, I mean, there's things that you could do at home to fix it. It's just like one of those things like, oh, these don't, it's not perfect. Oh, okay, well, let's play the game. That's all.
So one other thing I wanted to mention about it is the way it is set up in the rule book. It's almost like a walkthrough tutorial. So you play scenario 1-1, and it's very simple. And then 1-2, and then 1-3, and then 2-1. And it actually has these secret boxes and envelopes that you open up and add more components, more cards, rules as you go step by step. For people who are really good at deduction type games, it might be a little too slow that way. But for people who need that step by step, it's built into the game.
Cool stuff.
And if you want to see it, check out our Saturday morning board game show that was live this past weekend.
Cool stuff. Yeah, be sure to tune in to those. They're the first Monday of every month. Nope, first Saturday of every month, similar to our game night. So it's the last Monday of every month. And yeah, we'll be hanging out live playing games, and we hope you saw the show. What else are you guys playing? What else is on the table?
Hannah and Charlie and Melissa and I were able to play a scenario of Mansions of Madness. We haven't gotten that to the table in a long time, and it was fun.
Yeah, I think it was the first time we've ever actually lost a scenario.
What?
I know. It's crazy. Melissa, why did we lose?
Well, we were a little too slow. We had to find things and then bring them to someone. And it took a little too long for us to do that. Some of us were waylaid by vampires and other things. But yeah, we
couldn't find the ingredients.
The great ones took you guys down.
Yep. For the elixirs. Oh, well. But it was fun. I enjoyed the gameplay. So it's cool.
I had an opportunity the other night to play Role Player again. It's been a long time since I've played that. I got to hang out with Andrew, one of our other interns who does all of our Instagram stuff, and Chris, another buddy in town. And we and Liam actually played with us as well, my son. And if you're not familiar with Role Player, it's basically a dice manipulation game where you're building an RPG character. So you have to worry about classes and races and powers and different things like that. But really the heart of the game is you're drafting dice each round, you're adding them to your stack of stats that you're trying to build, and you have a specific stat count that you're trying to get. So a row of dice, you might be trying to get 14 or 15 or 17 pips on your die. And then you're also worried about the color of the dice that are in your columns. And so a lot of stuff going on. If you're able to do both rows and columns and get some bonus points, you'll score a decent score at the end of the game, which I thought I had done. However, Liam actually crushed all of us.
However, he lost.
I lost. I actually came in second. Tied. I think I tied for second.
That's the first place loser.
That's right. Liam had like 10 more points than everybody else. Everybody else was within 3 points of each other. And I was like, man, dude, are you sure you like counted numbers correctly? You know, doubting him. And he walks me through his stuff and he says, well, look, here's one where I was only going to get one star if I had 14 points. But I got this other card that said if you have like only 5 points in here, you get 3 points instead. And I was like, oh, I saw that card and I thought it was broken. So he definitely figured it out. Did really well. Proud of him. Great stuff. Role Player. Super fun game. Anything else? What you guys? Anything else been played?
I played Overboss the other day with Volcanoes for the first time, and it was really difficult because I'm so used to trying to get, you know, the bands with the tokens, and Volcanoes, they eliminate the adjacent tokens. So you got to be real. You get a lot of points for them, but they ruin all your bands when you place them down. So you want to place them down early. And I also was focusing on deserts, where you try to have like one large grouping of deserts. If you get five of them all together, you get 20 points. So I put one down first round of the game. And then I didn't see another desert come out until like the last two rounds.
Really?
It was
crazy. That's kind of odd, isn't
it? What is happening? Who shuffled this?
Kevin.
I wasn't playing.
Fun stuff. All right, well, let's take a pause for just a moment and give a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Ludda Pellet, who has a game coming to Kickstarter in the future. It is Agamonia. It is not on Kickstarter yet, but this is a cooperative adventure type game where each player has a character with unique stats and skills, and you're going to be playing through a storybook of scenarios. Kevin and I actually had a chance to play through a prototype, and we had three tutorial scenarios that we played through. And the first scenario was very simple, introducing us to how the game works, and then each tutorial added more into the game. The main mechanic of the game, well, the way that the story works in the game is there are story points on the map, and the map is in the storybook. And when you get within range of the story point, you draw a card that has the scenario information on it. And it may just be text and telling you what's going on and what you need to do, or it may present tests that you can do if you're within a certain range. You may look at it and go, no, I don't want to go into the scary forest. Or you may go, oh, yes, I do want to help the lady find her furry pet in the basement, I think. So the story is going to be progressing as you hit these story points, and the cards are double-sided, so you usually have to do something to be able to flip the card to the other side to get whatever reward or story element that is there.
Yeah, it's definitely heavily based on the story. So it does have, you know, like that adventure, Melissa was saying, that adventure aspect to the game. So if you're familiar with games like Gloomhaven or even Lord of the Rings, Journeys to Middle Earth, or even Mansions of Madness, like we mentioned earlier, there is like story there, but I feel like Agamonia has even pushed the story envelope even further with those story cards that you're revealing throughout the game.
So this will be coming to Kickstarter in the future. We don't have a specific date on it yet, but look for Agamonia coming soon.
Something else that's coming up soon is the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which will be in Atlanta on January 20th weekend, whatever the date
August.
Is. August, yeah, January.
Wow.
Yes, getting tired over here. August, this month, coming up soon, as I said, Kevin, Melissa, Sarah, and I will be down there hanging out. It's a little bit of a different type of convention to what we normally go to. In addition to board games, and actually more primarily focused on than board games, the Southern Fried Gaming Expo is all about video games, retro arcade, and pinball.
Woohoo! Pinball! Yeah!
So look for Kevin and Melissa in the pinball line playing games. Sarah and I, actually all of us, will be playing board games throughout the course of the event. We'll be doing a couple panels and just kind of being involved in some of the other things they've got going on. I think they're going to do a pitch-a-thon event where we'll get to listen to some people pitch their Kickstarters and or games that they're working on and offer them some advice and kind of help them along the way. So it should be a lot of fun. If you're in the Atlanta area, definitely check out the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. .com is probably their website to learn about how you can get your badge and what all the things they have that's going on. We will be hanging out and having a lot of fun.
Well, let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode we'll be talking about three games coming to Kickstarter the weeks of August 9th through the 24th. First, Melissa, start us off.
So I am looking at Flamecraft, which is coming August 10th from Cardboard Alchemy. And this is a 2-5 player game that features adorable dragons. These are artisan dragons. So you have dragons that specialize in making bread or doing metalworking or making crystals. Planting. There are plant dragons that nurture the plants and ones that make potions. And this whole world, the art is very whimsical. It's done by artist Sandra Tang, and I believe she is known for this type of art already, drawing lots of dragons and things. So I think she's going to be bringing some of her fan base into this Kickstarter as well with her adorable illustrations. So this game has some worker placement, has some hand management, and basically you're playing as a flame keeper who is skilled in the art of conversing with these nice dragons. They are nicer than their destructive cousin dragons that we normally see in, you know, fantasy.
Friendly good dragon.
Yes. And so you are trying to help them and entice them to produce their wonderful things in your village so your reputation will grow as you aid the dragons and the shopkeepers. So look for Flamecraft coming August 10th. Again, just adorable, adorable art with, I don't know. I could just gush about this art forever.
I agree. No, I'm with you.
But yeah, hopefully the gameplay is good. Will.
I hope it's good too. Just like I hope the gameplay is good on Masters of the Universe, Fields of Eternity, He-Man. I have the power. It's all in my hands. Coming from Archon Studios, August 10th, the new Masters of the Universe campaign will be launching. It's a 1-6 player miniatures game where you'll be doing, it sounds like there's, I'm not sure if it's competitive, cooperative, or all of the above. There's team play in the game. I don't know if that means it's cooperative, but in the game you will be using some fantastic looking minis. Like, I don't know if it's just because I love He-Man toys as much as I do.
No, Archon is known for their minis.
These minis look sick. Like, the first photo I saw of the minis from the game, I actually thought it was like my He-Man toy riding on the Battle Cat, legs arched up, and I thought it was the original toy. The detail on this looks so good. Really cool stuff. You've got the castle, you've got all the players. The game is said to take like 90 to 180 minutes, so it's a pretty decent wait time commitment, which I think is going to be worth it. In the game, you will be doing lots of stuff. There's exploration. There's going to be, it's an action point based game. There will be alliances. So I guess that means probably not team, or it is team, it's not competitive, not cooperative, get my words right, and looks just super cool. The artwork for the game looks incredible. The components look great. The board is basically a map of Eternia, and you'll be able to play all the main characters in the game. Looks very cool.
And I believe this is only available outside of the United States.
Oh, you're crushing my heart.
But maybe you just get someone, one of your friends, to back it for you.
Is it going to be out by Essen? Can I grab it while I'm there? Probably not.
Not if the campaign's going now.
Next Essen.
August 10th. Okay, I'll have to go next
2022.
It does have maps that don't show any American flags. So, looks like I'm missing out on this one for now, but I will definitely be looking for ways to connect and get a hold of Masters of the Universe. Check that one out. Coming to Kickstarter soon. Sarah, what do you got?
Coming August 18th is Wild Serengeti. This is from Bad Comet, and it is a set collection and engine building game where everyone is using the same animals out on this grid board, and there you have a you take on the role of a film producing company that is going out making documentaries about the wildlife in Africa. And as you do so, there are cards that you will add to your tableau once you've completed them. And the cards have things like you need these four animals to be in a row, or you need these three animals to be on these specific types of terrain. So I need an elephant in the savanna, and I need a lion on this rock formation, and I need a gazelle near the water. So you'll need to use your limited actions each turn to move pieces where they need to go to fulfill your actions, but everybody is using those same animals. So while you might do really well one term, somebody may move that one lion that you needed in that spot to complete your cards.
Yeah, Ryan.
So there are several different types of cards you can complete, and some of them give you immediate bonuses, and then some of them give you ongoing for every single round that you have the card. So this engine builder, you play over, I think it's 6-7 rounds. And once you get to the end, there are additional end game bonuses for completing cards that have certain types of animals, and that can change every game. So that is Wild Serengeti. We have an overview video and a playthrough video if you'd like to see this game in action. That'll be on Kickstarter August 18th.
Do you want to comment on how it's not like Everdell?
Please do.
Will was like, this game is exactly like Everdell. I was like, I don't think it's like Everdell at all. You are building a tableau in front of you, but mostly just so that you get the bonus on the card, and then there's endgame points as well, depending on the difficulty of the card.
And
I'm trying to jump in because I wanted to describe all the similarities.
The center board is a grid where you're moving animals around. You don't have
the central board is different. But literally the only difference.
It's the main gate part of the game, Will.
The game has an Evertree, except for it's called Lion King Rock.
Pride Rock. Pride. It's not Pride Rock.
The Rock of Ages. It literally, just like in Everdell, tracks your progress throughout the course of the game, and you have cards that rest on the cardboard structure that are bonus points throughout the course of the game.
So basically, it's the aesthetics that remind you of
it. In the game, you are buying cards from a pool that you then add to your own personal tableau. Those cards give you future bonuses that you can either use one time or multiple times throughout the course of the game. One of the most outstanding things about the game are the components. You've got lots of cool wooden components. Now which game am I describing? Do you guys even know? What? You can't tell! Lots of similarities. It does have the puzzle aspect, which is very different.
It looked very different when I saw it. But on
the puzzle board is different for sure.
But we've never played Everdell. So.
Oh, there we go.
Played Everdell? What are you guys doing over there?
No war chest.
We don't even board game.
You never played Everdell, never played War Chest.
I heard War Chest is an amazing game.
I don't know anything about games.
No, I don't even game.
Yeah.
One thing they do know is Richard Lanius, though.
We're not going there yet.
Oh,
we
have there's more Kickstarters?
Yes.
One more Kickstarter.
The most important one.
Most important one. It's not a game.
Sorry, Richard. You just got bummed.
It's okay, because...
It's not a game, right, Sarah?
Yeah, it's not a game, Sarah.
So there's three games.
So I said there are three games, but I didn't mention that the most important one is the Tantrum House Season 8 Kickstarter.
Will forgot to. Whoa,
all the
two
sound effects. Crazy over here.
It's great. It's great. We have on August 17th Tantrum House launching their season 8 Kickstarter.
What?
And we will be offering a lot of awesome promos and other items for our fans and others who aren't fans to also back things.
Yes, I saw Will's been designing some new t-shirts. I felt attacked.
They may involve analysis paralysis, anonymous hashtags, a.k.a. Melissa Delp. Johnson, get it on there.
So we have a bunch of publishers joining in and offering promos. The App, Floodgate. I shouldn't list them all, but...
It would be a lot.
Right.
We were just looking at them. I think we have something like... 30? How many? Brand new promos coming.
New promos, over 20.
Over 20 brand new promos that we've never had before.
Plus, we have promos from last Kickstarter that we have available as well.
We'll still have some from last time. We do have some new additional merch that I haven't even showed you guys yet, but we got a cool new leather dice tray with those little snappy corners.
Oh,
that's all cool.
We did get some...
those will be coming. I think we're going to do coasters, like branded coasters. We'll have t-shirts. I think we'll probably still have our bags and some of the things we've had from previous years. So... do you guys want cozies? Let us know if you want a koozie. Koozie.
Are they koozies or cozies?
Wow. Please stop.
How about a snuggie?
A snuggie. I did hear that could be a popular request. We might have to get at least
we've
one.
We've got competition on the board game blanket scene, so...
But the snuggie scene.
We should start Tantrum House Letterman jackets.
Ooh.
And we can get pins to represent the different board games.
We definitely could do pins.
Whoa.
Pins are a huge thing in the board game world. So
letter jackets, not
welcome.
Yet.
You heard it here first.
Board game news coming at you. Oh, yeah. We would love you guys' support. Please check out our Kickstarter campaign. It's a great way for us to be able to kind of purchase some of the new equipment that we need. I think we just broke another microphone the other day. Be able to replace some of the things that we need. Be able to just expand on some of the stuff that we've got going on. We enjoy putting this stuff together, and it makes it a whole lot easier if the funds can come from our fans and friends rather than out of my pocketbook. So we appreciate you guys' support a bunch, and we've got a ton of really great... some of the promos that we have this time are super cool, like top-notch games. I know we've kind of grown that over the years. I remember the first year we were like, we have a promo card. It's amazing. And it's been really great to be able to build relationships with some of the publishers and game designers out there. And we super appreciate their generosity in hooking us up with some of these things. And it's really cool stuff. And we're excited to be able to pass it on to you guys.
And on the 18th, we're going to be doing a 12-hour marathon, correct?
I believe that
kind
is the case.
Kicking off the Kickstarter.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter will launch on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we're going to be playing games together for about 12 hours. I think we're going to make a day of it just to be able to hang out, play some games. Most of these games will be games that you can either join in and play along with us, or you can have fun watching us and laughing at us. It should be a great opportunity for us to just hang out and play some games throughout the course of the day and celebrate the kickoff of our Kickstarter. And we'd love for you guys to tune in. We'll be live on YouTube all throughout the course of the day, so check out our YouTube channel if you haven't already subscribed. I think there's an event already up there. You can click the little bell and probably get an email or something when we go live.
Notified.
I don't know how those things work.
A notification?
You could get a notification.
I think you know how notifications work.
I've literally never clicked a bell on anyone else's YouTube video. My kids do it all the time. They know how to do it.
Don't admit that to people.
Don't.
Yeah, you're supposed to take that one to your grave.
All right, now you can
click the bell. All right, let's welcome Richard Lanius to the house.
Hey!
Thank you.
I have Sarah and Melissa here as well, and we want to talk about the game on Kickstarter called Thunder Rolls. You are the designer. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind the game.
Actually, I put together four games. That's the fourth one I put together, and each one kind of influenced the next one. And I just kind of, somebody was talking to me about they wanted mechanics to be simpler, And I came across and started thinking of mechanics, and then Las Vegas mechanics. It's really not used in almost anything of creating dice sets. And I thought, you know, everybody understands creating dice sets. You roll them 1 to 6, place them on an action, and do the action. And it just really worked out well.
We've been able to play test this and have had a great time playing. Melissa, I know that you are a big NASCAR fan.
Yes, so I've enjoyed having another racing game with the more stock car, NASCAR feel to it, because there are games with other types of racing, but this one really does feel thematic to the types of things you're going to have in a NASCAR stock car race.
So this campaign is currently live on Kickstarter. Tell us a little bit about the campaign.
Well, what we did is we priced it extremely cheap to put it on Kickstarter. It's going to be $49.99. We're not going to actually release it for regular sales, although retailers can go online and put a deposit down to get 6 copies or more copies if they want to. But the extra copies we do print will only be sold at cons, and they're going to be priced. We're setting the price. It looks like it's going to be $85-$90 for the real game because it comes with a lot of stuff. It comes with, you know, 8 miniatures cars. Each car has 8 dice. Yeah. All of the cards, all the cards are beautiful. The track's beautiful. Everything that's built really looks great and really comes across well. And I do want to say something about Melissa and her playing ability, because one thing I've noticed about this game is she's a strategy player, and I don't care how many bad things happen to her in the race, she seems to always be there at the very end. Like, you look in your rearview mirror, there's Melissa right there coming for the win. So Melissa knows something about stock car racing that some of the players don't, I think.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, you know, things I thought about this game, and it has the mixture of some luck with the dice rolls, and you don't know how the other cards are going to affect you, but there's still a strong strategy aspect as well. And I think that is actually thematic to NASCAR, because you have the skill of the drivers, but there's always things out of their control, like someone spinning in front of them, or a caution flag at the wrong time, or a messed up pit stop. So I think the marrying of the chance aspects in the game plus the decision-making that you're making goes well together.
I agree. And being a NASCAR fan, that's one of my favorite things about the game, by the way, is you feel like you're driving your car right on the edge, okay? Because you're making some decisions sometimes about, do I spend 2 dice or 3 dice? Do I hold them? Do I ride? And you realize that you're taking a risk by the way that you're actually spending your dice. And I view it as short-term speed versus long-run speed. And do I want to get out in front with my short-run speed, knowing that I might not get enough cards and you can come from behind? Or do I want to kind of hang back and get the big cards and advance?
One of the other things I appreciate is how it does simulate the race with all the cars being out there for every race. So in the game Thunder Rolls, you have 8 cars, of course, not as many as in a NASCAR race. That would be a little overkill. But what made you decide, was that an early decision to put all that number of cars, 8 cars at the beginning?
Originally, I'd planned on putting only 6 in, but I felt like with 6, the track just wasn't busy enough. And then I got the idea of, I'll give each non-player driver their own personality. So some of them will race you a little recklessly, others will race you clean, but they race fast. You know, so once I started putting personality to it and created a system where you can do them really quickly, I think that part of the game really hums. And I really enjoy it because there's some of the guys out there, like, I hate that car. You know, every time he gets near me, I'm like, I'm getting away from him because I know he's reckless. But I see another guy, I know, well, this guy will draft with me. I want to get in line with him and let him draft me. So
we mentioned a little bit about the rolling phase, how it sort of simulates the or is similar to Las Vegas. But there also is the Thunder phase where you're programming cards. Talk us through that.
Well, the programming, hopefully you're going to get 4 Thunder cards, which are the faster cards. But, you know, if you've got a lot of players, you're probably going to get 3, and you're going to get a speed car also. And you really want to program your cards so you can do what you want to do on the track. So some of that becomes positioning, where I'm on the track and how am I going to start my programming, the 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. Then you've also got the additional icons, which are the cross flags icons, that later will give you 2 movement points each if you can create a complete cross flag. And I've lost the last 2 races to cross flags because I don't concentrate on those when I'm grabbing cards, and other players do concentrate on those things. And right at the very end, I'm in the lead, and then I'm like, oh, I finished behind him by 1 space.
You just kind of ran out of gas.
I did, you know, the car, the tires were going. That's all I had. The tires were going, and I just couldn't hold on.
So just like in NASCAR, pit stops are pretty important. Are they important in Thunder Rolls?
They are important, but the way they work, and the nice thing about Thunder Rolls is there's no yellow flags that slow you down. When you spin or have a problem, you just move back a few spaces and you continue your turn. Same thing with pit stops. If you pit stop, you're going to get to flip your team card over so you can get your reroll capability back, which can be really important when you're trying to get certain dice numbers. But more importantly, if you fail to pit stop and you get a hazard of any kind, you get an additional penalty, and they are bad, okay? So not pitting can end up being very bad. Pitting, you know, I like to pit with one die, okay? And I like to be the first guy into the pits if I can. I call that off-cycle. I get into the pits first. It's going to take three people with more dice to knock me where I don't get a card. But if you're pitting late, you might want to use more dice and get in there and get yourself the four tires and get back out fast.
Now, also, like NASCAR, Thunder Rolls has different types of tracks that you can race on, and the tracks have different rules and personalities, I guess I could almost
say. A track personality, you've heard it here first.
Road courses, ovals, super speedways. Tell us a little bit about the differences that you put into those.
Right, well, the short track is going to be your sprint. So if you're setting up to play a sprint, that's going to be a game you're going to finish in less than 30 minutes, because it's just one stage of a race, and essentially it's basically eight dice one time, and then one thunder phase. So on that one, you've got to really get out in front. You got to get out front fast, and then you've got to pick up some cards too, because it's going to be over before you know it. A lot of the other races are going to be two stages, so they're going to go through two rolling phases and two thunders. But the super speedway feels like a super speedway a lot. It depends on the track you're on, but the big one can happen. You have more risk if you're running side by side, if there's three cars side by side. And drafting becomes the key. If there's one of them where one track where when you're drafting, all cars that are in line draft. So if that's the case, you want to be in that line because they'll pull you along. So each track's a little bit different. The road course, of course, moves from three lanes to two lanes. In fact, we just developed one where we put markers on it and it goes to go down. It's going to have what's called a short chute where it goes down to one lane. Passing can only occur on the one lane if you shove the car in front of you and then you roll higher than them. You get to change places with them after you move forward. So that's going to create people wanting to shove people forward through that particular thing. But each track feels like the kind of track it is in NASCAR, even though you're using the same board. So, you know, and we hope that the Kickstarter gets high enough because we actually have two more tracks that we would like to make that shows the Tri-Oval and then a really what I call the paperclip Martinsville, you know, short track where there's not a lot of lanes to run in. So
you can play the game and just do a race, but there's also included a Thunder Cup where you can actually sort of like do a tournament. How does that work?
Well, you can actually play it over a number of different races. Now, you know, if you just want to play, if I was just playing with friends, I'd want to run two races because then you just, after you qualify for the first one and finish, the finishing order just reverses for the next race and you total the points between them and that's how you can have fun. But if you're doing the Thunder Cup, you're going to set it at the very beginning as 12, 14 races, whichever one you want to run. And basically you score each race and you continue to keep track of those. And more importantly, you are tracking on the race card itself who won that race, because they get a bonus if you come back to that track again later.
Are you determining what race tracks you're going to? Is that already a predetermined?
You can do it a number of different ways. Okay. There is a predetermined list you can choose from, or you can simply build your own, or you can just randomly choose them as you go along. So in most cases, you're going to run 2 to 3 super speedways. You're going to run a couple of short tracks. You're going to run a couple of mile ovals. You're going to run a couple of road courses, and you know that's going to make up your season. At the end of the season, then for every win you got, basically you're gonna total points based on wins, based on standings, and that's gonna put you in the championship race, okay? And you're gonna qualify the champion race based on your points that you have achieved during the game. And so in the one final race, whoever wins it is the champion. So we do it just like NASCAR in the end. And you may be Denny Hamlin, but if you haven't won any races, you're not going to be starting. Melissa's a Denny Hamlin fan, okay?
Well, I was going to say, I know you've run at least one championship with some friends, and like NASCAR, it sounded like there were some rivalries that developed over the course of that championship.
There were. The driver of the white car, I'm not going to name him because we have
it has a shark on it.
Yeah. We've had our issues. I'm just going to say we've had our issues. They've taken us to the red truck afterwards a few times. There are times when it was just natural that he should draft with me, promised he would draft with me, and then he crossed over instead and left me. And we remember those things from race to race. That's the one thing you get out of running the cup race is long memories. And, of course, he complains at the end because I went into that race in third place. I finished fourth. He went in that race first place. He finished second. He complains we didn't help him. Yeah, he had it coming.
Well, we congratulate on the game itself. We hope it's already been funded. We're recording this before the Kickstarter goes live. So definitely go on Kickstarter. Check out Thunder Rolls from Zeroic Games and Mr. B Games. And please lend your support. Any last thoughts or comments, Richard?
No, it's just, I tell you, of all the games I've made, it's one of the most playable games right out of the box. You can learn the game in 5 minutes, but the strategies around it become very, very interesting. And the players you play with and also the NPCs just make the game, you know, extremely fun every time you break it out.
Cool.
Yes, and we have a how to play video on our channel and a playthrough, so you can actually see one of us. We'll see who wins. That's we haven't played it yet.
Okay. Melissa, you win a lot, so I lose a lot, so I'm not going to say it's going to be me, but I'm going to give a shot for it. So
awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Richard.
Thank you.
Bye. It's great having Richard as a guest on our podcast. I know that we have enjoyed playing Thunder Rolls, and you can...
Yes, we just recently played again, and Hannah, my sister-in-law, got to join us.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, super fun actually pushing the cars. The cars components are amazing. You absolutely should get back this Kickstarter.
That's really cool.
And I won, so...
But I got second place.
Yes. Hannah did very good. I did not. My car did not do well.
Did we use the Tantrum House car? Was that in the...
The Tantrum House car did win the race.
Oh, good. I think we should make it a rule. Melissa controls the Tantrum House car.
She usually does. It's a number 11. It's red.
11, awesome. That's my number.
Is it really?
That was my soccer number.
Same here. Also my soccer number in high school.
That's how we knew.
Richard knew.
That's way to go, Richard. He's got numbers too. What's didn't he like design some hockey jersey? I don't know. Sorry, long story.
Baseball?
Baseball, yes.
He wears the hockey jersey. He designed the baseball.
Correct.
That's right. I got it. I'm on board now. Excellent. Any other thoughts on the game? What was your experience like? Did you play at Kevin and Melissa's?
No, we played at Richard's house.
Oh, awesome.
So I got to actually meet him.
Very cool.
No, it was really fun. You need to know racing terms.
Okay. Yes.
but if you look at the Kickstarter page, there's very clear pictures, which made way more sense than someone just talking to me about what they meant. Mm-hmm. But just pushing those cars, even if you don't even care about winning or doing, just pushing those cars was a lot of fun.
I agree.
Excellent stuff. All right, so it looks like we've got a little bit of time left in the show. Why don't we take a few moments to talk about our topic for the night, which is, what are some of the games that you think need an expansion? Who's starting us off?
Well, need and want.
We're only going with need.
Well, that means the game might have some issues. I have some games in my list here that are near perfect games on my list, and I've just played them so many times that I think an expansion would be
needful.
We were talking about one tonight. We were talking about one tonight, Sarah. Remember?
I don't remember.
Letter Jam.
Oh, yeah, Letter Jam. Oh, yes, yes. Okay, so
here we go.
This would be a mini
expansion.
This is a mini expansion, and I brought this up to the team at CGE because I demoed it the very first con that they had it available in the U.S. to demo before it was even released. We had prototypes. And I said, you know what would be fun? I know there's a lot of people who are really good at wordsmithing, and you guys have eliminated all of the problem letters in the alphabet. These people probably play Scrabble and crossword puzzles. They know every word. So they need a mini expansion of all the letters that they removed from the game.
There you go.
They said it like breaks the game. I don't believe them.
It makes sense. Perfect. That's a great idea. All right. Anybody else? I got one I'm thinking of.
Well, I was looking at my top 10 list.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, what games on my top 10 you know, and do they have expansions? Well, like Power Grid has expansions, got different maps, and Lords of Waterdeep has an expansion, and Dominion, of course, has lots of expansions. Time Stories has expansions. Codenames, I guess, technically has expansions.
Different versions.
Different versions. Kingsburg, one of my favorites, has an expansion, which I think is actually like integral to the game. What do you think?
I think the second edition comes with the expansion. I don't think you can play it without the expansion material.
So, yes, the second edition comes with them as modules.
Perfect. Well, then, therefore, Kingsburg needs another expansion then, I guess.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Ryan and I agree. So, but my number one game does not have an expansion.
War Chest?
Everdome? What is that called? No, I know what it is. Lewis and Clark? Is that your number one game?
Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark
doesn't have an expansion.
Doesn't have an expansion. I'm wondering, like, would I want to have an expansion? I actually think it could have an expansion because there's sometimes you're looking at certain cards because they add different cards into the game and different ways of transportation, maybe.
Yeah. Who's the publisher on that?
That's Libblood.
Libblood.
Which is under Asmodee.
We're looking at you. Get us an expansion. I also went to my top 10 games list and thought, which game do I need to have an expansion for?
Happy Salmon.
Yes. No, actually, Hanabi was the first thing I thought of. I was like, that'd be an easy one to add expansions to. Turns out, 2020, they just released the Black Powder expansion, which I don't have yet, so I'm going to have to go get that. I got another one, too, while I'm at it. And you guys think, you got one? Sarah, ready?
I have
one.
She
got an expansion? Let us hear it. What do you got?
Coal Baron.
Oh, you just stole my second one.
I knew that's what you were going to talk about. Coal Baron, there is a card game version,
but not an expansion. That's correct.
While it is... a heavy enough game that it probably doesn't need it, and it's great enough on its own, I wouldn't mind adding or tweaking
the
gameplay.
Oh, it could definitely have one. First off, it needs a deluxe version, because in the game you have those coal chutes, which are inset cardboard, which is nice, but I need a 3D vertical tower. That's exactly what it needs. I need a plastic 3D tower that I can actually go up and down
Jonah
on the
shake
I'm
head.
Not on the
Heck
same
no.
page.
Get out of here. This is a
3D
great
tower.
Idea.
Get out of here. We don't need that.
Yes, I do.
No.
Three towers. I also need like a sideboard that goes on that.
How big is this box?
I mean, they can lay down. They lay down in the box, and then you pick them up, and then they're amazing. What expansion do you need? Is there enough Catan expansions for you out there? What's
There are
okay
enough Catan expansions. I appreciate that. I was very hard over here thinking, and I don't know that I came up with one yet. Mm. I'm going to keep racking my brain and try to come up with one.
Before we started the podcast, we did talk about Castles and Mannequin Ludwig, which we all love, but we believe that we want an expansion that we will love as well.
Well, the new...
Do we not love the expansion?
The new collector's version has an expansion in it with the towers, so does that count?
I thought the collector's edition had like two expansions in it, but they were from a different country
or
something.
So, the original Castles has the moats that it brings in.
Right.
And the little swans. I actually don't like that expansion at all.
I don't like it either.
So we're all on the same page there.
I don't have to whisper about it.
Okay. We're just going to say it.
Yeah. We don't
okay.
like it.
Sorry, Bezier. But I do like the Towers expansion.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of has an expansion in the collector's edition.
All right. I'll keep going because I got expansions that I need.
We need
left
Ryan.
And right.
Ryan,
what do you got?
I feel like most of my favorite games already have an expansion that like goes really well for it. The only two I could come up with, and they're almost too new to have expansions, are Court of Miracles. It's pretty simple. They could probably put in an expansion. I'm just afraid if they added one to it, it would mess up another board, which the board needs inset.
Maybe the board could be a rectangle
or modules.
The whole expansion is just a
makes
custom
your board
fit
rectangle
foam thing for the board. Yeah, I'd buy that.
That's awesome.
And then Etten's pretty new, but I could see them adding more factions to it. I'd play that.
That'd be fun. That'd be cool. Yeah, Etten makes sense. That one, I mean, it just makes sense. They should have new.
I think
decks.
They might have been planning it before the whole worldwide incident occurred.
Oh yeah, that thing.
That which will not be named.
Oh, I thought of one. Although I don't know, maybe it does have an expansion and we just don't have it. It hasn't come here.
I've thought of three games that I keep Googling to find out if there
already
is an expansion.
Coimbra? Does Coimbra have an expansion?
I'd play an expansion on that.
Because you see all the cards every single game.
I totally agree with you. It does have a, technically has a mini expansion, but it's just with like extra dice that it brings. Remember the, remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But I agree with you.
More cards.
Coimbra needs more cards. Love it.
I like that idea. One of the ones that I'm looking at is Captain Sonar. I'm just going for my top 10 list. So they do have additional maps that you can get, which is, I guess, an expansion. What I need is just give me a fifth player. Six, or like 10 players, I guess. It is the type of game where you got to have four players to play it, which is not always easy to pull off. But if you're a Captain Sonar fan and you've got the friends and you've got the space, you should just be able to add one more like whole function to the left and the right of the ship. Give me more boards to write
it's
on.
It's hard
give me
enough.
No. I need
it's
it.
It's hard enough.
Jonah and I are banding together now.
They keep
hard
going
enough.
The other way. No. They got Family Sonar, which is a four-player game. I need 10-player version Captain Sonar.
No.
Tournaments could be happening worldwide. It could be a thing.
It's hard enough. Can't possibly.
So an older game that I'm surprised does not have an expansion is Tammany Hall.
Reprinted.
I could see they did reprint it. Expansion could be coming soon to that.
Maybe.
I would agree. Maybe. I'm not sure. Because I felt like Tammany Hall, with the board that they have, like they'd have to change the rules on placement to get an expansion going. Like there's too many.
What about
boroughs.
A new map?
I mean, part of the map is like New York and like the boroughs.
Well, I understand that, but I feel like they could.
There's plenty of things they could do. You could always add another team that has different powers. You've got the three, I don't even know what they're called, but the three tiles that you pass from. There could be six of those to choose from.
You could have new character roles instead of the mayor and the other things. You could have.
What I just said,
I thought you were meaning something else.
Yeah, that could definitely be something you could add to it. That's a fun one. It is a classic, so it's if they're going to do the reprint, they might as well throw in an expansion as well.
They need a wavelength expansion for colorblind people.
Ooh.
Is it necessary?
Wavelength?
I don't know how it would work.
You mean hues and cues?
Hues and cues, sorry.
I was like, wavelength doesn't use colors.
I was like, it's only just a line wavelength that gets you the line.
What's wrong with the line of wavelength, Ryan?
Sorry.
Yeah, hues and cues.
What? Would the colors be?
Black and white.
Be hues and cues.
I don't know.
Then.
Be, color,
be like,
colorblind friendly.
Black and white.
I want a hues and cues that I can play.
Oh, the good.
I'm sorry, right?
Supposedly,
I don't know how to fix that for you.
Supposedly, colorblind people do okay.
I don't know.
Do they?
I haven't.
Have we?
I don't know.
Do we have testimony
like,
from anyone?
I've never won it. I never will win it.
Until they go.
I know people
scale.
With art degrees that do poorly at the game, though.
Right. Don't talk about me right beside me.
That's because they say colors that the regular folk
that
don't recognize.
Come on, you guys. Get in on the tertiary colors.
Cool.
What about Monopoly?
No.
Please.
What if they could fix it? What if there was another board that allowed you to mitigate?
You mean a totally different game?
Luck?
I mean, yeah. I've played that.
Yeah, see,
we just
not published.
Together Monopoly and Risk, the Lord of the Rings versions.
What?
And we made up some rules on how they interacted. It was great.
See, could be done.
Now, see, I wouldn't mind playing a version of Monopoly if a prominent game designer made a legacy version that you played it once and it ended, and there were like catastrophic natural disasters that happened in my hotel,
cards?
I might play that.
This is
event
like
cards?
No. It probably would be mashup of Monopoly and Life.
Yeah.
Don't they have some mashups? I don't know what they're called. Yeah, they do. They have like Scrabble and something else put together, and I don't know how they play, but it's been done. They got it.
You got to have a board game designer that knows what they're doing with a legacy game to do it, though.
All right, so tell you guys what. If you're listening right now and you have an idea for a game that 100% needs an expansion, let us know. Send an email to Sarah. You're welcome.
S-A-R-A.
At TangentRouse.com. Let her know what expansion you think needs to exist. We will add those to a pot and do a drawing, and we will randomly give away. I was going to pull off one of these games on the table, but they don't exist yet. Secret unpublished games over here.
How about a ticket to Southern Fried Gaming Expo?
You could, but I think by the time you listen, it might already be happening.
Nope.
You sure?
Nope, it's that week.
Sweet! All right. If you want a chance to win a ticket to Southern Fried Gaming Expo, send an email to sarah@tantrummouse.com. Let her know what game you think needs an expansion. We'll put you into a drawing, and we'll announce it on our next podcast episode, and we'll make one of you out there a winner. You can join us for the three-day board gaming convention in Atlanta. We'll get to hang out and have all kinds of fun, and you can be a part of the fun as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight, or today, or whatever time you're listening. We'll catch you out on the next one. Bye! Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.